Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
What a day in sports. I mean, there's just so many juicy, I'll use that word, juicy stories that we just need to address. And let's get it started with Mark Cuban and the NBA. Now, let me set the tone. 7 months ago, the NBA began investigating the Dallas Mavericks workplace, you know, because there was a story that came out from Sports Illustrated basically describing the Dallas Mavericks work environment as a quote-unquote real-life animal house. And Tredema Ussery, who had been the president for 20 years, left the organization in 2015. Apparently, he was harassing women sexually all of the time, even saying that he envisioned gangbanging them.
And, oh, geez.
You know, I mean, just craziness,
Chris,
right?
What'd you just
hitting
say?
On women. Gangbang. Yeah, according to the report,
right.
He had used that term with women, saying he had envisioned them or dreamed of them, you know, being gangbanged and things like that. So it was ugly. But then there was an employee, Earl Sneed, who was accused of sexual harassment in 2011, and he actually was charged and he pled guilty. Okay, accused, not sexual harassment, domestic violence.
Domestic violence, right.
Accused of domestic violence. He was charged by the police and pled guilty. And Mark Cuban, the Mavericks owner, actually helped pay his legal fees.
Yes!
He wasn't fired, right?
He kept his gig.
And then he paid his legal fees and kept his job. And then 3 years later, Earl Sneed, a Mavericks employee, was dating another Mavericks employee, a female. She showed up at work one day with a swollen face, chest, and arms. Face, chest, and arms, and told HR, Human Resources, with the Mavericks that Earl Sneed did it. Was he fired? No.
And this was guy used to cover the team, like, for their website, right? The
right.
team website. He was like the
exactly
beat reporter.
Right. Exactly right. And Mark Cuban kept him on. So the NBA did this investigation, very thorough, 215 employees interviewed, 1.6 million emails and texts and things checked out. And Mark Cuban ended up deciding to, after he saw the results of the investigation, that he's going to donate $10 million to women's organizations. That's four times the amount that the NBA is allowed to fine an owner. $2.5 million is the limit according to the collective bargaining agreement. And just in case you're wondering, though, because $10 million, this legit is going to help these women's organizations. So that is real. But Mark Cuban has a net worth of $3.7 billion. And I just want to say, I want research to check this out. I don't know if my math is good, but I think it is. So a $10 million donation when you're worth $3.7 billion, check it out. I want you guys to check me. I think that's the equivalent of a person who makes $370,000 a year giving up $1,000.
So it would be like Rob G's contract, what he's making.
$1,000 for a person making $370,000 a year. That's the equivalent of Cuban's donation. Now, here's my issue, Rob, and then
I got,
I want
you,
you
know,
to weigh in.
You know I want to weigh in. I'm ready
right,
to go.
Right. I got two problems. Number one, I think the NBA is being hypocritical. They're going soft on him. They are known as this ultra-progressive league. Yet, Mark Cuban said it himself that when he met with Adam Silver, the commissioner, there was no talk, no discussion about him selling the team. And, of course, we remember a few years ago, Donald Sterling was forced to sell his team, the LA Clippers, because he used a racial slur, the N-word, in a private conversation that was illegally taped.
Absolutely.
Right? And obviously, you and I are both African Americans. We certainly didn't like what Sterling did, but he didn't, you know, aid and abet
a
guy that was beating on women.
100%.
Right? And then Jerry Richardson of the NFL, he was forced to sell the Carolina Panthers when he was involved in some sexual harassment. Now, he was directly involved, unlike Cuban, but at least the reports of what he did were not nearly as bad as what Earl Sneed did. And here's my ultimate problem, Rob. And it's a lot of it's with the media. Because a lot of the media, I'd say most of the media, has been calling for Urban Meyer to be fired at Ohio State.
Including yours truly.
Right. And I'm going to say every media member, every person out there that is calling for Urban Meyer's head, you are a hypocrite if you are not also calling for Mark Cuban to lose the Dallas Mavericks. I'm one that's not calling for Urban Meyer's head. I think what he did was terrible. He mismanaged it. But I didn't think he should be fired because I didn't think he definitely knew that domestic violence was taking place. Mark Cuban definitely knew domestic violence was taking place, and he kept this guy on his staff, so to speak. So if you're calling for Urban Meyer's head, you better be calling for Mark Cuban's head.
I hear you.
I'm done.
I know. I hear you. And, Chris, I think when I look at this whole situation, shame on Adam Silver, shame on the NBA. They are to turn their heads to Mark Cuban, especially, Chris, when Adam Silver called this investigation and report, right, disturbing and heartbreaking.
Right.
Disturbing and heartbreaking. This is another reason why it's still a gender situation. It really is. It still breaks down to that even more than race. It's a gender thing. And the reason that Donald Sterling was forced out by the NBA is because he used the N-word and some derogatory terms, right? In a league that's 75% black.
Right.
Okay,
right.
So right away they knew when LeBron and those guys called Silver and said, we're not going to play in the playoffs as long as that guy's an owner. What happened? He was gone lickety-split.
Yep.
Gone.
Yep.
Forced to sell, banished forever from the NBA. And now in this case, this tells me that the NBA and Adam Silver, they don't respect women. They don't. Because there's no way Adam Silver should let Mark Cuban get off with a $10 million tax write-off. That's
right.
What it is, Chris. He didn't do anything. A tax write-off. You helped him. You helped his bottom line when they do with their taxes. Mark Cuban's not hurt by this. And the reason that the NFL was easy to push out, same thing, Jerry Richardson, yes, he was involved, but he's an old guy. He was on his way out anyway to retire. Mark Cuban is still young and vibrant and a star in this country. He has his own TV show, that Shark Tank. And that's why he gets a pass. It's totally wrong. And this is the same NBA that had the nerve, Chris, to take away the NBA All-Star game from Charlotte because of the bathroom bill? You're telling me, oh, they stood up and said, oh, no, not under our watch. We won't have an All-Star game in Charlotte, North Carolina. And now you're telling me that an owner who knew and harbored a guy who was doing these things to women, it gets a pat on the back. Is there a suspension or something I'm missing? What, the Cuban? Nothing?
Nothing.
Zero.
Nothing.
You got to be kidding me.
You said it. I mean, you brought up some excellent points. You know, the bathroom bill with Carolina moving the All-Star game. I hadn't even thought about that. But you're absolutely right.
Do you know how much they hurt North Carolina with that? Because after the NBA did it, then the NCAA canceled championship games, all kinds of stuff. There were employees and all from different states that wouldn't go to North Carolina, wouldn't fly there on business. It devastated North Carolina.
Right.
And now you're telling me that Mark Cuban gets a tax write-off? That's his punishment?
You're right, Rob. You are absolutely right. And look, you know me. I'm the guy in the intro that's spending Sundays in the pew.
So I
believe in high moral standards. But my thing is, if we're going to hold high standards in this society, then it has to be fair and it has to be across the board. And that's all I'm saying. Everybody, I'll say it again. If you're calling for Urban Meyer's head, then call for Mark Cuban's. I'm glad to see, Rob, that you are being consistent.
I'm consistent. I think Mark Cuban should have been forced to sell a team. There's no way that this should be going on in the NBA in 2018 or whatever has happened the last few years. This is ridiculous that the other guy, Usery, was there for 20 years terrorizing women in the work.
20 years
terrorizing them.
And you gonna tell me, you know, we talked about it with Urban Meyer. Did his wife show him those photos or not show him? Well, this is similar. 20 years, you're the president of the team doing this to women all of the time, and Mark Cuban didn't know about it?
I don't believe it. I don't believe it. And I get it. Sometimes, you know, people are afraid, Chris. They don't want to lose their gig. If they speak out, you know what I mean? They don't get promotions, all kinds of things. And that's why guys get away with it. But the owner of the organization, and to me, the stuff where he harbored the writer for .com, Mavericks.com.
Earl Sneed.
That bothers me even more. That's one where you can't turn your head and say, well, I didn't know what was going on. Yes, you paid his legal fees. You knew what happened. And he was charged in the whole nine yards. This is terrible. Adam Silver should be ashamed of himself.
And here, there's no question. You know, again, with Ohio State, there at least is some question, you know, as to what Urban Meyer knew. Here, there's no question. We know, and Mark Cuban knew, what was going on. Domestic violence was taking place. In fact, employee on employee, and he let it slide. It's a bunch of hypocrisy going on, and Rob Parker and I are calling it out.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker, weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Jimmy Butler, the all-star swingman for the Minnesota Timberwolves, met with his coach Tom Thibodeau and president today in L.A., and Butler asked for a trade. He asked the Minnesota Timberwolves, a playoff team in the Western Conference, to trade him, and he gave them a list of three teams that he would like to be traded to.
Did he
want to
get traded because they picked up Luol Deng? Is that the reason he asked for a trade?
Hey, that was an interesting move, we'll say that. But the three teams on his list, the New York Knicks, the Brooklyn Nets, and the Los Angeles Clippers.
Wow.
So one thing people know when you talk to people in the league, it's clear to everyone that Jimmy Butler wants a big market. And so that's why you see L.A. and New York.
Those are two big
teams.
Markets, no doubt about
exactly.
It.
Exactly.
And
that's
as bad as Brooklyn has been, they have now, don't they have cap space?
They got plenty of money.
They got money now. They're going to get some players.
But the interesting thing is, if you want to go to L.A., why not go to the Lakers? I think the Lakers should top his list. You could play with LeBron, and you could compete this year.
Chris, I've been saying something for a while. You didn't want to buy into what I said. You kept poo-pooing me when I kept telling you nobody wants to play with LeBron. They've never wanted to play with LeBron. Nobody. He had to go to Miami because they wouldn't come to Cleveland. Everybody blamed Cleveland.
If the Cavs had been in Miami, I think he would have went to the Cavs.
Now he's in Los Angeles, and Paul George had a chance to come. He goes, nope, not only am I not coming, I'm not even going to take a meeting with Magic Johnson.
I'm out.
He won't even take a meeting with Magic? How disrespectful is that? And he's from the Los Angeles area.
And then there's talk. We'll see if this is true. I've heard it myself. Kawhi Leonard. There's talk when he's a free agent next summer that he wants to go to L.A. and he'll likely choose the Clippers over the Lakers because he doesn't want to talk or play in LeBron's shadow.
You can't deny this anymore, Chris. You can't.
We'll see. I mean, we'll see. Well, look, you're right. I mean, Kyrie Irving left him.
left Paul him, George left the greatest
didn't
player
ever. Play there. Now, let me say this about Paul George, though. Paul George was willing to accept a trade to Cleveland when he demanded out of Indiana to play with LeBron. And he was actually willing to extend his contract one more year so he could be there 2 years instead of one if LeBron was willing to do it. And LeBron wasn't willing to do it, so George, the trade was not made. So Paul George is a little iffy.
No, but Kawhi, there's rumors.
We'll see if that's true. And now Jimmy Butler.
But Paul George could have come once LeBron made his decision.
He could have come,
and he didn't do it. And that's why I just think this is not picking on LeBron. This is facts.
Because, well, why do you think it is?
I think because the narrative with LeBron, first of all, it's all about LeBron. It's all about LeBron.
Is that his fault, or just the fact that he's so great that he overwhelms everybody?
But the narrative is always one of two things. If they win, LeBron is the greatest, and when they lose, he doesn't have anybody. That's what the narrative is for everybody. He doesn't have any. Every time they lose a game, what do you want LeBron to do? He doesn't have anybody. I mean, really? Like, some of these players are saying, like, oh, really? You mean that we were on the team the year that LeBron won the championship, but he doesn't have anybody now because he lost?
No, that's real. Because, look, let's face it. And obviously, I'm a LeBron fan. I tend to defend him. And I think you're right that narrative bothers players.
Yes.
And Cleveland's a prime example before Kyrie left. Now, this year was different, but that was a super team. When you had Kyrie Irving, LeBron James, and Kevin Love, that was a super team. You had good role players around them, and Kevin Love's a perennial all-star. He's a 20-10 guy. Even, you know, in Cleveland, he was about 18-10. And Kyrie, of course, is a superstar. They just weren't as good as Golden State. So I do get what you're saying. LeBron is so good that he dominates everything, and there are guys that don't want to play in that shadow. I also think that LeBron, and he's not the only one nowadays, a lot of players dominate the ball and become the system.
Right.
But that LeBron becomes the system. And that's one edge I give Michael Jordan over LeBron, is that Jordan could fit into the triangle. Now, of course, he was the superstar of the triangle, but if you watch old film of Michael Jordan, he did not dominate the ball.
He didn't always have it.
He took a lot of shots, but yeah, there were plays, series, possessions. When he came down, didn't touch the basketball, he would take a couple dribbles, pull up jumper, couple dribbles straight to the hole. He didn't stand on the wing and dribble for 15 seconds while everybody watched him at times. And again, LeBron's not the only one. Dwayne Wade used to do it. Chris Paul over dribbled. Steve Nash over dribbled. You know, that's how a lot of guys play nowadays. But of course, that can take away from your teammates. And I think a lot of guys also looked at Chris Bosh.
Right.
Because remember, when he was in Miami with LeBron, he went from a guy that was 22 points, 10 rebounds a game in Toronto to a glorified role player in Miami.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.